February the 9th.
My name is Helen Petcher. My parents were Clarence B. Wilson and Alice G. Wilson. I was born in Dillsboro, Indiana in 1903, and we moved to Aurora when I was about 5 years old. And I've been a lifelong resident of Aurora.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have two sisters, both of whom are dead. They were older sisters.
Most of this interview, we were interested in music in the public schools of the world. And I understand you were highly involved in some of it.
I came to teach in the Aurora schools in 1926. Mr. Joseph R. Houston was the superintendent of schools at that time, had been since 1898. And in all those years, he had felt that the inclusion of music in the school curriculum was very important. So some of my predecessors had been Hazel Epstein, Marjorie Steer, Bess Valentine, Miss Unthank, and Laura Klein Stedman. When I graduated from high school in 1920, the music teacher had been Laura Klein Stedman. And in 1916, she had tried to start an orchestra. So through the school, they contacted a violin teacher from the Conservatory of Music, and we paid money to have 5 lessons on violin, because violin was the nucleus of the orchestra. However, it didn't really get off the ground. So when I came in 1926, I had a twofold duty. One was to supervise music in the grade schools, and the other was to handle the choral music and build an orchestra in the high school. There were 3 elementary schools, North Side, South Side, and West Aurora. So I went to each class in each of those schools once a week. Then I left directions for the grade school teacher to follow the orders I had left. We tried to teach basic reading skills, listening to what we call good music, in other words, classical music, getting a knowledge of instruments. And for instance, at the South Side, the building had 4 rooms on the second floor and 4 rooms on the first floor, around a center where there was a water fountain. So at the South Side, I would bring a radio and put it on that water fountain, and we would listen to Walter Damrosch's Young People's Concerts. And it was required that everybody listen. Also at Southside, there was a large room in the basement where I did a lot of my teaching. We had violin classes there. We did folk dancing there, even a harmonica club and rhythm bands. Anything to promote the interest in music. As far as the high school was concerned, the high school in 1926 was in the front half of the North Side building. The back half would have a few grade school classes. I inherited, when I got to Aurora, even a class that was required. All students of the high school had to come to choir 1 night a week after school. It wasn't entirely a success from my point of view or the students. And whenever the creek froze over, I'd dismiss it so we could all go ice skating. We had boys and girls glee clubs. We did an operetta every year. And graduates of Aurora High School still come back and see.
say, they can still sing the solos they sang in the operettas, because it was the big moment of the choral work. The orchestra, which we started, did pretty well. It's difficult because it's very hard to master violins. And we went one time to a contest of a recording piano where we got a B rating, which wasn't bad for a small school in those days. There was, at that time, a very fine music supervisors organization in the state from which I got a lot of help. And the desire for a band came along. People wanted something more exciting than the orchestra. So we brought down teachers from the conservatory to help with brass classes, for instance. And we started up with a pickup band. What few students we had, joined by Leo Kellner, who played tuba and had been a former member of the Marine Band, and Bill Kirkpatrick, who played trombone, and we played for the basketball games up in the old Merrick Hall. So that was the beginning of the band.
Where is the lyric?
It's the building that Chuck's renovated. Our uniforms, the school furnished capes and caps, red and white capes with caps. The parents had to buy the shirts, the skirts, the pants, the shoes, everything else. But parents were wonderful in those days. They really wanted to help out in any way they could. The band gradually developed, so we gave summer concerts in Mary Stratton Park. We always greeted the first Sunday morning in May from the top of Sutton's Hill. One time, when I was in school at Northwestern in the summer, I had to fly home to prepare formations for Crosley Field in honor of visiting a baseball manager, Pye Trainer. We also were hired to march in Indianapolis in a political parade for Al Blandon, which was quite an experience for our children, because they went through a black neighborhood, and the poor tuba player especially suffered because they would spit into his horn.
I bet it was an experience.
We got new uniforms finally, really band uniforms. And that caused quite a bit of conversation in the town, because there were still some people who believed girls should wear skirts. Actually, the people who favored a uniform, type of uniform, all pants, went out. And they were pretty uniforms. We had a good band, and to get ready for a contest at the Purdue Field House, we went down in the field to practice at 5:30 in the morning, and then we ate breakfast in the school cafeteria. We thought we were in perfect shape. Our drum major had had a knee injury and only stood on the sides, but we thought he knew every single routine. So we got to the field house, and it fell apart. It was the greatest disaster, and people still say, swear, that the paper the next morning said, drum major leads band into wall.
Oh, no.
In the 30s, we moved from the Northside School to what was then the new high school and community building. And at basketball games, the band would do formations on the floor. And lots of times, if it was a quartet, people came to see the band, because they did very well. As far as the choral department was concerned, in the 30s, we had boys and girls boy clubs, we had operettas, and the Valley Choral Festival was formed, which That was in 1938. They recently celebrated their 50th anniversary. It was instigated by Harold Rothard of Madison. The schools were in Madison, Jeffersonville, New Albany, North Vernon, Beebe, Lawrenceburg, and Laurel. And we met one day in the spring. Each group performed by itself, and then the combined groups sang under a guest conductor. It's still being carried on, and at, I think it's this year, it will be at South Deering. I'm not quite sure. But it was a very fine
development. The same members have
yes.
The same schools?
Same schools. I quit teaching in 1940, and after I left, the music supervisors' jobs were divided, separate choral, separate band, and there was a series of both until the days of Bill Platt. When Bill Platt came on, he was the last one of the music supervisors who was a traditionalist. It was the last time students played music by Wagner and Tchaikovsky and Beethoven, as well as some new modern things, because Bill went to Chicago every year to hear the latest things that were being done for band. He was a marvelous band director. And it was while he was band director that an addition was put on to the building. He finally had a big band room. We had had a small one, but a big band room with even the conductor's office. So it was a great advance. In 1959, I went back to teach. By that time, there was a choral director, a band director, and I was the supervisor of the elementary schools. It was a good period. We had what were called in-school concerts. Groups from the Cincinnati Symphony came down and performed. It might be a string group, a woodwind group, or a brass group. And they performed in the gymnasium of the was then the high school. We also took students by busloads up to the young people's concerts in the city. So it was really a good opportunity. Mr. Driver was superintendent at that time. Then Mr. Pitts became the superintendent. And it was during the time of Mr. Pitts that all the elementary schools were united. The new elementary school was built. And one of the things that Mr. Pitts did to prepare for that union was to have the students of all three schools get together for a music festival occasionally. And we'd do folk dancing, and we'd do singing, and we'd do anything to get the students to feel as if they knew each other and would be happy in the same school. Have any questions?
With this last, were other schools involved in this? Just the elementary school and the middle school?
This was Southside, Northside, and Westside that got together for these festivals.
It should help with feeding into high school.
Yes, I did. And then the middle school, it was called junior high, I believe, right at that point was in the old Northside building. But the move was soon to come to South Dearborn. South Dearborn became the high school in 88. No. Mm-hmm. 78.
Yes.
78.
That's what I was trying to check back. Yeah. 78.
The emphasis on music has changed completely from the traditional or classical to whatever is currently popular nowadays. The operettas that we had in the 30s have been taken, have been superseded by reproductions of Broadway musicals. And the introduction of electronic instruments has changed the sound of a band. Basically, I suppose the game is exactly the same, that everybody plays as well as he can. And the drummers still beat with the same abandon they did in 1930. The EKO, Electric Nights Orchestra, is very good and lots of fun. And the band is essentially a marching band. The choral department, through the Ballet Choral Festival, is eclectic in its programming. So there is still occasionally something of the traditional left. Stage productions are all well done. And I would say that after all these years, music still continues to be very important in the school system and this community.
And do they still have the emphasis in the elementary schools? No, the junior high has a band. But in the elementary school, is there still a music?
There is a visiting music teacher that comes in. I think all they do is sing a little. It's just that I suppose there would always be an eternal argument between what's good music and what isn't. It's really what's traditional music. I don't think they hear that anymore.
Hate to let it go entirely.
There's a lot to be said for what they do now. They enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But I know I get satisfaction out of the assistant of a doctor out of Irving County said when she heard the music going on, oh, I know what that is. He said, well, how would you know that? She said, oh, that's the Billy the Kid Suite by Aaron Copland. We had that in school.
It's
very satisfying when you hear something mm-hmm. like that.
That's right. And it does last, mm-hmm. doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It stays with you. I'd like to see some of that continue.
In some places it is.
Or mm-hmm. in school systems?
In some school systems, it is. I was talking to a young lady who was teaching in the lower grades at Oak Hills, and she was working with Peter and the Wolf by Prokofiev in the first and second grades, and teaching them to recognize the sound as well as the picture of the instrument.
Who was this?
Linda
the sound of the wolf and the sound, yes.
Yeah.
Very good. Did you say you went to school at Northwestern?
I got my master's there. I went to school, 4 years of college at Western, 2 years at the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music, and then I went back later and got a music master's at Northwestern. So you see my background is traditional.
And you had connections with the conservatory, and yes, that probably helped with
it did.
With people coming down mm-hmm. too, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, other areas they asked about was floods. Did any of the floods affect you? The river is an ever-present part of Aurora.
Was the 37 flood the big one?
Biggest, I guess.
About
1918
during
also.
That one, I was living on Manchester Street with my family and worked for the Red Cross all night at the post office. And we got on the boat right at our front steps and went over the tops of houses on Moore Street, went to the post office, and stayed there all night. important for the Red Cross. There was one telephone. They came into the post office. And the Coast Guard men would come in occasionally to get warm or relax for a few minutes. It was quite an exciting time.
And the water never got to the post office.
Well, you had to build a scaffolding to get in. The reserve was quartered there too. Colonel, what was his name? I don't remember. But he had his
headquarters
in the post office. The committee that had charge of flood relief was there. The Red Cross was there. I don't think much mail went in and out.
Probably not. It was the focus of everything. The mm-hmm. post office there. Mm-hmm. Saw the 64 flood, it reminded people of the 37 flood. And you think this is bad.
Well, yes, there was always a great debate over the dams, you know. Hmm? If the bucket is full and it rains, can it be any fuller? Some argument like that, you know, it was really ridiculous. And for us who lived on the north side of town, when you drove to town and saw water coming up in Taylor's Field, that's always this one. There's going to be a flood.
Gets that high. Mm-hmm. And you keep your eye on the river when you live next mm-hmm. to the river, don't you? That was new to me. I'm very conscious of it now. Another thing they asked about was early automobiles. You know, is that a biggie here?
Oh, I think so. Trying to think, I think there was a man named Coulter who had maybe the first one. Our first one was a Studebaker. I learned how to crank it when I was 6 years old, I think.
You were afraid of it?
I thought it was wonderful to be able to crank it.
Be allowed.
Of course, there were the Model Ts. The only time I ever tried to drive a Model T, it belonged to a school teacher, and I drove it right up the curb to Albert's front door.
That you remember, don't you?
I couldn't wear those foot pedals.
Where is that? Okay. Also, the trains, the commuter.
There was an early, you know, there was an 11 o'clock when we went into the city. Went into the old Central Station. It was a joy.
Where?
It was on 3rd Street and maybe John, I don't know, down in the West End. And I went into Cincinnati every Saturday when I was in high school to take violin lessons at the conservatory. There not only were these nice trains on the B&O, but there was the Big Four, which also went into the city. And on Saturdays, it went in like at 8:30 and came back at 12:30, if that was the understand. That was discontinued, I believe, even before the train stopped. Running on the piano. Mm-hmm. A lot of people went in regularly as commuters.
I think they
would. I understand. Mm-hmm. Oh, don't you? Mm-hmm. A lot of people have never been on a train.
No, I know. And so.
They used to say that my husband's mother, who was a beautiful lady herself, would dress her small children up in their best clothes and go down to meet the train at 5 o'clock when her husband came home from his job in the city.
Oh, it's tradition. We use it all the time then for working too. Mm-hmm. Oh, you would be aware of this songs and entertainment at the time, other than school. A lot of it entertain them?
They had, there was a lot of music in Aurora. There really always was. At Christmas time, churches would put on oratorios, such as the Messiah and things like that. There were some community shows that were done, too, that were really fun.
The little theater and music?
Musical ones, and mostly skits. Mm-hmm. But you shouldn't ever forget the Grand Theater, which was in Lower 2nd Street. It was where the high school had its commencement activities. It's where plays were given. We also often had these companies that came in and would choose the local talent and put on shows. There was really always something going on. It had an orchestra pit. And
is that right beside the Lions Club building? Is mm-hmm. that further down on the other side?
It's right next to the Lions
right
Club.
Right next to the Lions Club. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To a high school production there.
That was the Grand Theater. Then, of course, there was the Palace Theater, which it was just above the library on 2nd Street going mm-hmm. west. And that also was where they had did a lot of shows as well as movies.
The stage, too.
Mm-hmm.
How about the one further down on 2nd Street, on the other side of the street? There's a big open. They talked about having their proms there.
Is that the Odd Fellows Hall?
I think so.
F is on the building, I think. Right. Isn't that Odd Fellows?
I believe so.
Yes, that was used. It was used in my day, I think. Heaven only knows how long ago that was.
Still. Do you remember anything of the flu epidemic in 1918?
Riding with my father to take buckets of hot soup out to West Aurora, where people were really stricken.
It affected everyone, mm-hmm. I suppose.
Everybody tried to help. Mm-hmm. If you were able and you tried to take care of people that couldn't take care of themselves.
It brings people together, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Remember any rationing or shortages during the First World War?
I don't remember them during the First World War. I was in high school at that time.
Didn't affect you probably personally.
I didn't pay that much attention to how you got your food.
No.
And I don't even remember about that. Was that it was still the days of newspaper extras. And people would go through the town crying, extra, extra, and you'd rush out and buy a paper to see what had happened.
And that's all that was in that paper was whatever the news of that particular news was. Mm-hmm. I've seen that in movies, but I've never seen an extra.
Oh, it's a thing that's gone.
It was probably before the dailies, or I don't know, was there ever a daily paper in either of them for her?
Not a daily. Yeah. Would have come to Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cincinnati. That's most of it. Can you think of anything else that was perhaps existent then and is not now, that's kind of fallen by the wayside? That you saw happening?
Not really. I had a telephone call last night. An old friend wanted to remember the name of a building which was on the site of what is now our middle school. It was called the Criswell Building.
Criswell?
And it's where we had Criswell.
Oh.
And if you maybe have heard somebody would be an old timer mentioned Criswell Crossing, which I suppose must be the crossing where the B&L goes over Green Boulevard, because that was the location of this building. It was where we had a tennis club, which had marvelous play courts, and it's where everybody grew up to play tennis. It was a great time. Now the only tennis courts, well, there's some down at Waterways Park, but they aren't kept up, you know, high school.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Out there, like,
that it was erected for recreation, the Crystal Building.
Well, no, it was just a residence, and the school had taken over. And so we were...
It's strange in Indiana, too. Basketball being as manic as it is.
Really is.